If you'll go ahead and turn to the first scripture, it's on the screen, Genesis chapter 1, and just have your place there. You know, usually when I come to this place in the service and I'm bringing a word, the word that I'm bringing has something that is in many ways different for every person. It is a supernatural thing, and God is able to take the word, one single word, one sentence, one paragraph in the Bible, and in the preaching of that word, He is able to feed everyone in this room exactly what they need, when they need it, where they need it, according to the circumstances of your life. Amen? And so this morning is a little different. I want to talk to you this morning about the seed of God. The seed of God. This is a message that may, I trust, will speak to everyone, but it has to do with a foundation. Because if you come to this part of the service, I know Brother Tom, I think almost every week this month, as he has come to do the Lord's table, he has talked about preparing your heart for the Lord's table. How many of you know we should prepare our hearts not only for that, but for every aspect of our service?
Amen.
That as we come to church, we should be with hearts prepared to give and to receive. To give to God that which is due Him, and to receive from Him what He wants to do in our lives on this particular day. But how can you come and how can you receive if the foundation is not right? If you do not understand some very basic truth about the Word of God, if you come thinking that you're going to hear something that is the equivalent of a motivational speaker for God, you understand? If you think that you're coming and well, this person can really put it out there and I understand it, but yet you do not have the right view of the seed of God. God's Word is supernatural. God's Word is seed. And we're going to see the ramifications of that this morning. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. In the first part of verse 6, then God said. And that, we find, has not stopped throughout all of history. Then God said. How were the heavens, how was the universe created? Three little words. Then God said. Then God said, and when God spoke, something supernatural happened. When God speaks, His Word is alive, it is life-giving, it is supernatural, and it produces something wherever He speaks it. This is a foundational truth that we're going to build upon this morning. If I take good seed, now notice I'm saying good seed. If I take good seed and I put it in good soil in a cup, and I give it good water, how many of you know that a miracle happens?
Yeah.
And then that which was dead, out of that new life emerges. I'll come back to that briefly at the end of the message, but it really is a miracle. It's one thing that science has not yet duplicated, and even if they ever do, if they're able to create a seed, it will only be because God has given man the intellect, the creative ability to be like Him in certain ways, and without that which He has given, it never could happen in the first place. Maggie's been gardening, and so we have squash planted now, summer squash, and they were stubborn at first, and yet once the appropriate time passed and the water was given, now they're almost doubling in size every night, these new plants that are coming forth. And it really is a miracle when you think of the seed, which could sit in a little packet on a shelf for years. And then when water is added and the conditions are right, something that is totally different from the seed, filled with life, that's going to grow and multiply in size as well, comes forth out of that out of that seed. I'm telling you this because I want to put forth a spiritual thought this morning. In a way, sometimes I come to you with things you've heard before, but I have to say it many different ways because someone is sitting here whom after the 50th time, it's just the right soil and it's just the right amount of water, which is represented, the Spirit of God is represented by the water in our passage, and God begins to take what I'm saying, and it's the right time for that person, and suddenly it goes into the heart, it makes sense, they understand it, they have what we call revelation, God is speaking to their heart, something new comes, life comes out of that seed. I'm telling you this because I want you to understand in a different way perhaps this morning that God's Word is powerful. It is powerful. It is miraculous. It is not magic, but it is supernatural. Magic, and I'm not going to explain this morning, but magic may be real, but magic can never be holy. Magic may be real, but magic can never be right. Supernatural may be real, and also be right, be holy by the Spirit of God. There is a difference. God's Word is living, and God's Word produces. It is like dynamite. Jeremiah said, it's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And I have seen the Word of God break hard hearts down until people who once resisted His Word are weeping at the very throne of God. It is powerful, it is living, and it is dynamic. Now the following, as I begin to unfold this morning, the following may be uncomfortable for some of you, but I will be very delicate in how I say it. It is imperative for our understanding of the Word of God. The New Testament speaks many times of the seed. The Word of God is seed. The Word of God is seed. 40 plus times in the New Testament, it is translated as seed from the Greek word sperma. The Word of God is the seed of God. The Word of God is the sperma, spiritually, of God. And so that conveys an idea to us. The idea that the seed of God, listen closely, that the seed of God transmits the very life of God into the places where God is reproducing Himself. Are you with me?
Yes.
The seed or the sperma of God, the living Word of God, transmits the very life of God into the places where God is reproducing Himself. That is, God's seed is planted in your heart, and the nature of God Himself grows in your born-again spirit, reproducing the life of God in you. Now, here is a question, a very simple question for you, and I know you'll all say, oh yes, but I want you to really think about this morning, because I've just thrown really heavy truth at you. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the Word of God, it's not just words on paper, it's not just language, the Word of God is the seed of God. The Bible says that Mary was the temple of the holy seed, that without a human father, God spoke. God spoke, and the seed of God took up residence in the womb of a virgin girl. And that became the living Son of God. And that it is a pattern. When you are born again, the living Word of God comes and the seed of God is planted within you. And so Christ Himself is reproduced within you. That's why Paul said, speaking to one of the churches, he said, I pray for you, I agonize in prayer for you until Christ is formed within you. Because the seed of God transmits the very life of God Himself into your human spirit when you were born again, and Christ comes to dwell within you, and you grow And you grow. And something just like that seed that's planted in the garden. Now the seed of God, the Word of God, takes up residence within you. And something new that wasn't even there begins to grow and begins to be formed. And it overshadows and it casts out the old. The old must die and that must give way for the new to grow. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. Because the old dies, but there's a seed that's planted within you and new life comes forth within you. It is real. It is supernatural. It is powerful. It is the life of God, the seed, the sperma of God being reproduced within your very spirit. The word being received is the seed by which the very nature and life of Christ is being formed in the believer. Now, all of that may seem like some theological technicality, but it's not. It's the very heart of the gospel. Now, the word which is seed, as I said before, carries great power. And we read in this passage of Scripture, in the beginning, the Spirit of God was brooding over the chaos of unformed creation, over the face of the waters, and the Word of God spoke and said, "Let there be," and cataclysmic things began to happen. Water and land began to be separated and formed, and darkness and light were separated, and there was day and there was night, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of all of this creation, and God was speaking. You see, it is His Word and it is the water of His Spirit. It is His Word which is the seed and it is the water of His Spirit, and He brings forth order out of chaos. And that's what He does in the life of the believer. From the very moment of your new birth, He begins to hover over you. And within you, He begins to speak and to move. And He begins to reorder your life. And He begins to bring forth order out of what was chaotic and what had been marred by Satan. But He brings forth this beautiful new thing. In the beginning, these things began to happen. And we find it then all the way through the Word of God. Then God said, and the Word of God came. And the Word of God came to Abraham. We'll come back to that. If you plant the seed, which is the Word, if you plant the seed in good soil and it receives the water of the Spirit, then something new will grow. The new takes over and the old is crucified. Sunday morning is an example, only an example. I began speaking of what takes place. This message could have been titled, "How to Prepare Yourself to Come to Church." But it's about when we come together as the people of God. But this is only an example because this truth needs to be understood all week long. But this morning, as you come together, the sower is sowing the seed of God. The sower is scattering the seed of God. And some in here know that it is spiritual truth, that it is supernatural seed, and they receive it. And they begin to change on the inside. Now, we're talking about seed, but let me just take a moment to bring out a little bit more about the Word. The Word of God can be as gentle as a breeze. It can also be as devastating as a hurricane. You can receive it willingly, and you can be blessed by the life of God in you. Or you can resist the Word and eventually be broken upon it. You know, sometimes we talk about breaking the law of God, don't we? Oh, well, you broke the law of God and there's repentance and there's forgiveness. You break the law of God. Some people spend their whole lives breaking the law of God and resisting the law of God. Let me tell you a different way to look at this. Yes, you break the law of God. But you don't just break the law of God, you are broken upon the law of God. The law of God will break you if you resist the law, the Word. The Word is the law and the law is the Word. All of the Word of God is the law of God and all of the law of God is the Word of God. And I want you to picture a ship that's heading towards the rocks and they won't pay any attention to the charts. Maybe this is your life this morning. God has given you the chart. He has shown you the dangerous waters. That is the law of God. But you won't pay any attention to the charts that God has given. And in the end, you see the ship is crashed, devastated upon the rocks. God did not give you His law in order to make your life miserable. God gave you His law in order to protect you from devastation, in order to take you to a place of fulfillment. The Word of God can be devastatingly powerful. I want you to turn with me to our second scripture. Very familiar passage that you learned, most of you as a child. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop, 100-fold. In Matthew's version, he says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables." And then notice this, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are closed or choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the ground, on the good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. At first you may ask, as I told you to take note of verse 9. At first you may ask, was Jesus deliberately hiding the truth from some and revealing it to others? That will bother some of you. So I'm going to ask that question again. Was Jesus deliberately hiding the truth from some and revealing it to others? And I'm going to say absolutely. Absolutely. Bear with me for just a moment. All through Scripture, we find this, that God is revealing Himself to those who seek. Those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Those who seek because they really want Him. The Word of God says, "You shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." This is why some in here this morning would say, in a moment of honesty, "Well, God never speaks to me." And I would say that most likely, there could be some other factors, but most likely, you have not spent the time seeking Him. It has not been an act of desperation that you have to hear from Him, that you want to hear from Him, and that you'll obey whatever He says, and that you long to hear His voice, and so you persistently keep going to Him until you hear what He is saying to you. There's a story that I read about a mother who sent her son off to college, and she gave him a Bible. She said, "Now read your Bible, because everything you need is within these pages. Everything that you need is in this Bible." And he went off to college and he put his Bible on the shelf and he kept running into problems. He was just having great difficulties, and he'd call his mother and he would complain. And each time he called, she said, "Have you read your Bible?" He'd get frustrated and say, "It's not in a good place to be reading my Bible. That's not what I need right now." And she said, "Everything you need is in that Bible." And one day he called her because he was flat broke. He had no money. He had had a part-time job, and he lost the job, and he wasn't going to be able to stay in school. And he called his mom with some glimmer, perhaps some hope that she could rescue him one more time. And he called and he said, I have no money. And she said, "Have you read your Bible?" And he got very frustrated and said, "What do you mean, have I read my Bible? This, I've got a lot of other things on my mind right now besides reading my Bible. And so he was not able to continue school. He returned home defeated, came to his mother's house, and he was bemoaning his life. And she said, well, did you read your Bible? And he said, no, I didn't read my Bible. That's not what was weighing on me at the time. And so she said, where is your Bible? Bring me your Bible. And he went and got the Bible and he brought it to her and she opened it up and there were $100 bills between almost every page. She had loaded it with $100 bills. And that's funny, but that's like us. It's not what I need right now. It's just a book. It sits on the shelf. I'm weighed down with the cares of this world. There are so many things that but would you please help me? I need you to help me. I need somebody to help me. And God says, everything you need is in that book.
Amen.
Everything that you need is in that book. I put all of my riches, all of my treasures in that book. It is living. It is powerful. It is supernatural. You just need the Word of God.
Amen.
You need the Word of God. You see, all you need is an ear to hear. Now, first of all, Jesus has been telling this parable about himself. We didn't read it, but look up at verse 1 of chapter 8. It came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He is the sower. Jesus is the sower in this parable, but when Jesus gives us a parable, it always has more than one layer of meaning. So initially, he is the sower, just as in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. But he is the sower, but then as his word comes to find lodging within us as born-again believers, we become the sowers. We are the ones who go out and we scatter the seed. And so there are truths for us in this passage of Scripture, whether it's Jesus sowing the seed or whether it's us sowing the seed. And so we are sowers of the word. So I want you to notice that it says concerning each parcel of ground, it says that some fell. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on the rocks. Some fell among thorns. And some fell on good soil. Because the good sower is not out doing preliminary work saying, let me find some good soil. I want to be very clear about this because God's word goes out into all the earth.
Amen.
And Jesus is not saying, oh, I'm not going to go over there because I already know ahead of time that's not good soil. No, he is scattering that seed everywhere he goes. Now we find in the New Testament, like with the Apostle Paul, you may attempt to scatter seed somewhere and the Holy Spirit may stop you and say, don't go there right now. But we don't know ahead of time and we don't go and say, well, I'm not going over there because I've reasoned that this isn't good soil. God sends his word. Some of it falls on good soil. Some of it falls on the rocky soil. Some of it falls where there are thorns and some of it falls on the soil that has been trampled along the path. But the sower is not responsible, first of all, for what kind of soil it is. And second of all, the sower is not responsible for what kind of crop it is. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not responsible. Now, that does not mean that I'm not to help you mature. If you receive the Word of God, then it passes from being a picture of seed and you become babes in Christ, right? And we're to help each other mature and grow and become fitted into the kingdom of God. But beloved, I cannot be responsible for what kind of soil you are. And neither can I be responsible for whether or not you receive the word. And I cannot be responsible for what kind of crop you produce. But you, when you receive the word, are the one that stands before God with an accountability for what you did with the seed. Listen closely to me this morning. The seed that, whether it was at home, whether it was on the radio, whether it was God speaking to your heart or whether it was every single Sunday morning, as the seed of the Word of God comes, you become accountable for what you do with that seed. So it says that it fell. And we see that there are four places where it fell. The first one was by the wayside. It was where the path had been trampled and the seed fell on that soil and was quickly trampled by people who came along. Jesus says that they hear this, but immediately the devil comes and steals it away. Immediately the birds come in the parable, and then Jesus said what it means is that the devil comes and steals it away. Again, when you prepare yourself to receive the Word of God, you must make it part of your plan that you will keep the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
When you receive the Word of God, I know because it's happened to me many times just as well as you. How many times have you received seed in this place and 2 hours later the birds had stolen it? Not thought of again. Not thought of again all week long. And life becomes kind of miserable when it's like that, doesn't it? And then you come on Sunday morning and it's so refreshing. It's like, oh, God's speaking to me. But will you keep the seed? The seed has to be watered. It's watered by the Spirit of God, but it has to do with our responding to Him and our continuing in the Word of God and nurturing that seed so that the birds can't dig it up and take it away. That you don't let Satan rob you of what God has spoken to you. So we come to this trampled down soil, and it reminds me of where Paul speaks, not speaking of seed, but of those who trample the blood of the only begotten Son of God underfoot. He talks about those who are lost and those who are condemned, and he says, of how much worse punishment do you think they will find themselves, those who have trampled the blood of the only begotten Son of God underfoot and counted it as nothing? And it's the same when we come to the Word of God. If we trample the Word of God underfoot. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning that this is the majority. What we just read, the first soil, is the majority of the world. It's those who cannot receive the seed at all. You see, it fell, but it was trampled. It didn't even sprout. And most of the world, Jesus said, narrow is the way and few are they who find it. Most of the world is trampled soil. And it is because they are so clinging to this natural life. You see, that soil, just follow me for a moment. That soil was in the path, wasn't it? It's in the path where everybody's walking. And that is where people who, their entire life, there's nothing supernatural about their life. It's all about their natural life. It's all about living non-spiritually. And they're walking in the same path. Psalm 1 speaks of this. They're walking in the same path going along with everybody else. And all of the seed of God that's falling just gets trampled underfoot because they want to be sure they go along the same path, the same way that everybody else is going. And they have no time, they don't have an ear to hear, and they have no thought for the things of God. They can't receive the seed of God that produces spiritual life. The second soil was rocky soil. It had some soil on top of the rocks, but it was very rocky underneath. And the seed fell upon it, but as soon as it sprouted and came up, Jesus said, it's the temptations of this world. And when he tells the story, when Matthew tells the story in Matthew's gospel, he talks about when persecution comes. So in temptation or persecutions, when you feel mocked or when you're mistreated because you're a believer and the seed has come up in your soil and you're not willing to endure, you can't endure, you've not nurtured the seed and it hasn't produced, there's nowhere for it to find root because you've allowed temptation and persecution to rob you of what God is wanting to do in you. We've seen many people with rocky soil. This is what happens many times with them. They receive the Word of God first with joy. Have you ever seen this in the house of God? You see people who come to the altar and they receive Christ and man, it's like Damascus Road. They are on fire for God and all of a sudden they're telling it and they're preaching it and they're encouraging everybody else and they're telling everybody what God's done in their life. And 6 months later, they've gone back to their old ways because it found no depth. It found no depth in their life. How many of you know that the root system for a tree is its anchor? The root is the anchor. If you don't have the anchor, then you'll be uprooted and overthrown In times of temptation and in times of persecution, you won't be able to stand. And so these never persevere so that the roots grow deep. It's not watered by the Holy Spirit. And they don't continue in the Word. Let me just take this picture a little bit further before we go to the next one. You receive seed initially and you're born again. But then you must continue to receive the seed of the Word of God. It becomes not only seed, but food.
Yes.
It's not just seed, it's food.
Amen.
And it nourishes you and you grow and your roots grow deep into God.
Amen.
In order that you might stand in a time of trial.
Yes.
The third soil is the thorns, where the thorn patch, where the thorns are growing. We often see this also in the house of God. These seem to receive the seed. He doesn't say exactly what happens there, but apparently they receive the seed and it begins to grow, because how else could it be choked out if it didn't grow? And so these are those who receive the seed and it begins to grow in their life, but then it's choked out by the thorns. And Jesus said that the thorns represent the cares of this life and riches and the pleasures of life. I think that so many Christians fall into this category. We'll come back in a moment to the fact that I'm not just talking about your salvation. This parable isn't just about getting saved. So many Christians receive the seed. But the reason that the birds can steal it, and the reason it's lost in the middle of the week, is because they are overwhelmed by the cares of this life. Don't raise your hands, but answer this question for yourself. How many of you, on a very regular basis, are overcome, just overwhelmed by the sorrows or the cares or the worries of this life? Beloved, God's Word is to be trusted.
Yes.
I'm not saying that we don't all battle with worry at some time or another. But I'm telling you that if you're going to grow as a Christian, you're going to learn that you can trust God.
Amen.
That you can trust God. There is no worry in your life that He is not sovereign Lord over that thing. And He is able to carry you through to the other side. Some of you, I'm just going to say this, some of you can never seem to get to where you're supposed to be with God because you're so worried about somebody else. Somebody in your family, perhaps, that isn't doing what they ought to do. So you're so worried and you're so fearful and you're so overcome by the feelings of defeat when God has already saved you and He's wanting you to walk in faith for them. And as long as you are under defeat, as long as you are in despair, as long as you are in worry, how can you stand in the gap for your loved ones? If you're overcome with worry, how are you going to walk in faith? And sometimes you go in the workplace and you're talking about Jesus, but the next breath they hear you fretting and worrying and crying because of the things that are happening in your life. And the non-believers look and they say, well, that person's just like me. But God comes to give you victory. He comes to give you something more than that. And His Word is seed, and that seed produces life within us. I don't know how to say this strongly enough this morning. If you have the seed of God planted within you, you are fundamentally and supernaturally of a different order.
Amen.
Than those around you.
Yes.
You're not the same species spiritually anymore. You have something new. There's a creation of God within you. I'm wanting to hit hard this morning, not me, but the Spirit of God, that everyone sitting in this place takes inventory. Do I really receive the seed of the Word of God? And do I really believe something supernatural is happening inside of me? And do I walk in that? When I walk out of this place on Sunday morning, do I want God to speak His Word into my heart and into my life? It falls among thorns. And not only can that be the worries, but He said it can be the pleasures and the riches of life. And beloved, let me just say this morning, because some of you, we've all come from different church backgrounds, those who were in church somewhere else. If you came to Christ thinking that it was going to be a prosperity gospel, if you came to the Lord thinking you were just going to give and therefore you were going to get, if you came to the Lord thinking you'd never do without because God's just going to so bless you abundantly, then I'm telling you, that attitude can choke the seed out of your life. The seed of what God desires to speak to you, because you can be so dependent upon the riches and the pleasures of life, thinking that it's all from God and not recognizing that Satan can put those things in your path to lure you away from the path of Christ. You will revel in your prosperity and let the pleasures of life crowd the word out and choke you. Lastly, there are those who are good soil. They receive, they grow, they allow the Holy Spirit to do a new and continuing work in them. They are useful to the Master, and they produce a harvest. Beloved, you become the sower. And so let's think about this for just a moment. Are you speaking? Do the seeds that you plant, are they seeds of God, or are they your seed? Is it life-giving, or is it just your opinion? Is it by the Spirit of God? The seeds that you go around planting, is it just you? Or are you filled with the seed of God, and therefore you're giving out something that reproduces the life of Christ in other people? There's one other seed. We don't have time to read it this morning. But you have it there on the screen, and it's in Matthew chapter 13, 24 through 30. And it tells of this, that a man went out and looked at his field. He had planted his crops and he examined his wheat field. And his servants went out, they came back, and they basically, I'm paraphrasing, but they said, "You have tares growing in your field." Tares was a plant in Israel known as darnel. That's the name of it. It is a plant that looks just like wheat, and it can grow along with the wheat, and you cannot tell the difference until the time comes that the wheat produces grain. And the darnel or the tares, they produce no grain. They're just a weed. And they can take up precious soil and water. And they came back and said, "Do you want us to go and try to pull up the darnel, pull up the tares out of your crop?" And the Master said, "No, no, leave them there and we'll sort it out at the time of harvest." And the Lord interpreted that and said that the tares were sown. In the parable of the tares also, they were sown by an enemy. It was seed that an enemy went in, sowed in his field. And God said, the field is the world, and the wheat is the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are those that Satan has his hand upon, that are planted right there among the people of God. And Jesus said, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them in the church. Don't try to figure it out, let them grow side by side. But there's coming a day when I'm coming to judge, and I will take my angels, I will send my angels, and they will separate the wheat from the tares. The wheat I will gather into my barns, but the tares will be burned in piles. So, beloved, we have four kinds of soil that we looked at that good seed fell upon. And it responded different ways. It was all good seed, but it was not all good soil. And let me tell you this morning that you and I have been all of those kinds of soil at some time in our life. Sometimes maybe we've been good soil, and sometimes we've let the cares of life choke things out that God was planting within us. But God forbid that any of you should be the bad seed, the tares. The tares are those who grow side by side with the wheat. They come into the house of God. They can raise their hands and sing the praises of God. They can listen. They can clap. They can use religious language. They can say, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." And yet believe something false. Believe a false gospel. Believe something that's not true. And not be saved, because they have not yielded to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What a horrible thing. What a sad thing that, and I don't believe this of any of you, but I'm just saying, based upon the Word of God, there could be some sitting right here this morning that are tares. And the Lord says, on that day I'll separate. Beloved, now is the time. This is the miracle of the parable of Christ, or the mystery, if you will, that the tare can become wheat. That one that has believed a lie That one sitting here this morning says, well, I don't need to bow my knee to God, but I need to be at church for whatever reason. Or that one that's sitting here today and is not a born again believer, but says, you know, I'm going to live the way I want to right now. And one day when I'm a little bit older, then I'll yield my heart to Christ. When the Holy Spirit hovers over the congregation, when God looks upon the congregation, no one fools Him. I can't tell wheat from tares. The person sitting next to you cannot discern wheat from tares many times. But when the Holy Spirit hovers over this congregation, those that are God's are marked with the seal of God. What does He see? The Bible says that you have the seal of God if you belong to Christ. Amen. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. What else does He see? He sees the seed. He sees the seed. Christ being formed in you. He looks into the heart. He knows whether you go home and have no use for anything that was spoken here. Or whether there's something of God that you're nurturing in yourself and you're believing and you're trusting and you're saying, God, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be either. So help me grow. Help me to water this seed. Help me not to lose. Help me, Lord, not to be deceived by the enemy, but help me to grow into maturity in faith. The Holy Spirit sees. He knows what this field is when He looks over the crop. Every Sunday, as I walk you back in closing through this, every Sunday as we come together, we are hearers of God's Word. The same supernatural seed, let me say it a little different way, the same supernatural seed force that carved order out of chaos in creation. Only the Holy Spirit can convey this magnificent thing to you. You see, I'm not so arrogant as to think that I'm doing anything. Beloved, I am just a willing vessel. You know, some Sunday mornings, I've learned not to fret. Some Sunday mornings, I'm like, Lord, I don't know where this is going to go. And I don't know if I've heard You, Lord, but I trust You to speak. I can do nothing apart from You. I know that it's supernatural. I know that it's supernatural. I'm not in it to be a motivational speaker. I'm not in it because I think it's going to give me some kind of fame or glory. I'm not in it because I think it's going to take me places. I'm not in it in order to be accepted by You or rejected by You or anything else. I'm just being obedient to God. Amen. And when I speak these words, and it's not just me, when you go home and you read them, it's the seed of God. And I can't stress this enough. It is the same seed that we find all the way through here. It's the same power of His Spirit. It's the same life of God that's going forth. Spirit speaks to spirit, the Bible says. And it's the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit, making you hungry, making you thirsty, if only for a few moments on Sunday morning. And to see if you will yearn and if you will nurture that and if you will leave with a longing in your heart to protect the seed and to keep growing in God. The same seed, the same Word that called out to individuals in the Old Testament. The same Word, the Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said to Jeremiah. The Word of the Lord came to Samson and said to Samson. Then God said, the Word of the Lord came to Ezekiel and said something to Ezekiel. And then God said to Elijah, and things grew and things were created and new things were planted. Old things were shaken and removed. Faith operated by the Word of God and giants were defeated. Cities were conquered. Fire was called down from heaven. And the heavens were opened and Ezekiel saw visions of God. All of this because of the same Word of God that you get to hear when you open your Bible.
Amen.
And you read those words.
Amen.
It goes on and on. This same supernatural Word. I'm just wanting you to see pictures this morning. This supernatural Word of God just rains down on you on Sunday morning. You sit in a rainstorm of the water of God's Word. It's a river of living water that if you receive the seed of God and you believe, then it becomes a river that flows forth out of you. It's like fire in your being. Jeremiah said, it's like, your word is like fire shut up in my bones. Sometimes it thunders. Sometimes the earth quakes. Sometimes He speaks in a still, small voice to your heart. Sometimes it brings you to tears if your heart is not hard ground. Sometimes it convicts you of wrong, bringing you to repentance. Sometimes it smites you and brings you up, jolts you that you might realize what God sees. Sometimes it strengthens and builds you up, but always it is living.
Yes.
It's not just a speech. It's funny to me sometimes when Pastor Maggie preaches or when another woman speaks, men especially will say, well, that was a nice talk you gave. No, beloved, they preach the Word.
Amen.
They preach the Word. Nobody's given a talk.
That's right.
In this church.
Right.
We either preach the Word or we shut up.
That's right.
It is the living, powerful Word of God that uproots your life, turns it upside down, changes you, confronts you, to where if you are good soil, you'll never be the same again.
Come on.
And always, 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 it is more valuable than anything else you could be doing right now. The Lord's servant sows. The Lord's servant casts and scatters seed to this side of the church and to that side, to this ground and to this soil, to the endless... Don't anybody be offended. I wrote this before anybody went out. To the endless trail of bathroom goers, to the sleepers, to the daydreamers, to the schemers, to those who are bored, and to those who hide something in their tent like Achan did. A sin that they don't want God to deal with. To those who are hard, to those who have shallow soil with rock underneath, to those who allow the thorns to choke it out, to those who are clinging to every word as from the very mouth of God, asking the Holy Spirit to water it and produce something in their life. See, when you sit here for a service, it's up to you. It can be miraculous, or it can just be a motivational speech. What do you do with the Word? What I wanted to end with in this is that at first glance, and the way this parable is usually taught, it's about the gospel. It's that some soil is good, receives the seed, and it's born again. And that's the meaning. Some soil is has rocks underneath, and the roots don't go deep, and they fall away. And they're still lost. But beloved, you're sitting here. Most all of you, I would say, are born again. This word, this passage of Scripture is not just about being born again. It is about what you do with the seed every day of your life. It's about whether you're good soil. When God is speaking to you. Because every one of us, after we are born again, need a continual supply of seed. You come in here on Sunday morning and there's some problem in your life or some sin that you're dealing with, some area of struggle. There's something that God wants, maybe a call, something God wants to issue forth to you, whatever it may be. And seed is scattered. And God is saying, are you going to receive that seed and nurture it and let it be watered? Because He's always, there are all these, if you just look at your heart, there are rooms and there are areas and there are all these parts of your life that need a seed planted in order that something new might grow and crowd out something that's old. It's the answer to everything that you need. Some of you sit here, maybe some of you young people, you say, if you look up here for a moment, this is just dry, old, dusty. This is dry to me. You know, they found seeds when they were, a few years back, they were excavating King Herod's temple, the temple of Herod in Jerusalem. No, they were excavating his palace, I'm sorry, in Jerusalem. And they found seeds that were 2,000 years old. And they took those seeds and they planted them. and they grew date palm trees. Now, that's amazing because it's miraculous, but beloved, I don't care how dry and boring you think this is. I'm wanting you to see it is. The New Testament's about 2,000 years old. The rest is older. And you may think it's dry and that it's dead, but all you've got to do is put it in this soil and let the Holy Spirit water it, and it produces something beautiful in your life. It's not dead. It's powerful and it's living. You may be saved, but you still need seed. You need God to speak to your life, to areas of your heart that have not yet been tilled and not yet been planted. There are some here that I'm deeply concerned about. The rocky soil, the thorny ground, even trampled by the wayside. I cannot discern those things. But the word goes out and it's obvious that in some it produces fruit. And I'm not speaking of works. We talk about producing fruit. The Bible defines the fruit in several ways. One is answered prayer. The other is the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ in your life. You start becoming kinder. You become more like Jesus. Some produce fruit. Some have the love of God. Some produce nothing. This morning, as Wyatt, if y'all will come. Sundays are a major part of all of this, but Sundays aren't enough. Sundays are not enough. You need the Word of God regularly in your life that you digest it. He says, study to show yourself an approved workman, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Let me just ask you this morning, do you want miracles in your life? Do you want change in your life? Do you want something supernatural in your life? That's the only way you're going to have it, is to receive the sperma of God so that the life of God can be reproduced in your life and He can have His way in you. Let's stand.